Glad you're here, and we would ask you if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. As you're doing that, you know, Brother Wayne covered it. He covered it all. I am sad today and broken in some respect for Brother Dev. And there's a lot of people in this room going to live with a lot of regrets for things they've said and done. And I think about that, and it's, you know, it just reminds you of this, that life is but a vapor. Some of you, you know, some of us in this room, as he said that, it just hit me. It's like, man, we better get rid of some of our unforgiveness. We better be careful of the things that come out of our mouth and the things we do. It kind of goes along with what we were talking about in Sunday school, is that, you know, we don't know the time, but we better be prepared to meet the Maker. And I wonder, if he came today, would you stand ready to meet him? We're going to try to transition the best we can here into this sermon in John chapter 14. And we're going to look at just a few verses here in just a minute. But I got thinking about this morning and or over the week, but then this morning I kind of jotted this little note in the top of my message, is that somewhere along the short year and a half that my grandson's been born, he's learned this word no. He's a year and a half, and he knows the word no, and he knows it well. What's weird is, like, when he was just a little younger, I don't know how you can be much younger, he didn't know when to use the word no. Does that make sense to you? Like, he just said no for everything. Now, at a year and a half, legitimately, he knows when to say no. Like, it fits. It, sometimes he did it by accident. Now he's doing it on purpose. It used to be cute. Right? He would say, my son tells my grandson at some point, I told Mikey, we were at the house, I told him, and I never forget kind of when this started, I told Mikey to do something. But he thinks because speak of the devil. He thinks because he's a little grown, he don't have to listen to me. What I try to tell him is, I'm always going to be your authority. I'll always whoop you, so you better do what you're told, mister. It goes for you, too. And, all right, so I told him to do something, and my son, he's jokingly, he doesn't disrespect me even, but he's jokingly says no. Then he looks to his son, our little grandson, and he goes, tell Grandpa, no, no, no. And sure enough, on spot, my grandson looks at me and he goes, no, no, no. And I'm laughing. And it's the cutest thing in the world, right? And it was cute because all the time, now every time he would hear the word no in our house, he would start this and he gets his little finger too, seriously. And he goes, no, no, no. And I'm like, Now it's firing back. Just this last week, I hear Tawny go, you ready to go to bed? No, no, no. Yeah, how you like me now? Clean up your toys. No. And then I, because I'm a great grandfather, I go, tell her. No, no, no. And he turns and starts the no, no, no thing. We're raising a real winner. Amen. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes he says no, you know, and that's the truth of it. And sometimes his answer is yes, and sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. And I really think this too. I think sometimes God says this, you got to be kidding me. But we like it when he says yes. We can endure it when he says wait. But we usually can't handle it when he says no. John chapter 14 and verse 13. Today, the title, you ready? No, no, no. It says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let's look at this verse again. And I'm going to tell you, these projectors are a mess right now. So if it doesn't work, I don't know how the Lord ever preached without projectors and a microphone. But we're gonna make it through if it don't work. Amen. This is, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Boy, this can be so misconstrued in preaching. Well, I've been asking it in the name of Jesus and nothing seems to change. And I've been praying, and how often do we say that? I've been praying and nothing seems to change. Verse 15 goes on to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think that's kind of an interesting transition. Let's read this one more time and we'll pray. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. And Lord, we do come to you, like Brother Wayne said, rejoicing. Lord, the word says that blessed is the death of your saints. So we come rejoicing, Lord, that we know that we can have eternal life, that there is a home in heaven. But we come broken too today because our hearts are heavy. Lord, we're heavy because we hurt for those of us that are here. Hurt for Brother Dev, Lord. So we lift him up. I pray just peace over him and Lord, just strength over him. And Lord, today, though, as we get into your word, I pray that we can be focused on what you have for us today. That your word would change our hearts and our minds. That your word would penetrate us. That we cannot leave this place the same. Lord, I feel like so often we come in here and it's just something we do. It's the duty. It's the service. We show up. We do this. But God, I pray that each one of us right now, we're praying that hearts be changed, that you change me, that you change us, that you show us something new, that you just move in power and might. We open ourselves to your word today. And we receive whatever it is you have, that we could be better. We could be more like you. The goal is to be in the image of the Son, Jesus. So make us more like you. But Lord, also, we look to your word and we think about prayer. And Lord, we don't like the no's, but we don't understand either. But just help us to see your word and help us to trust you. Really, it's a faith thing. Do we believe you? Do we take you at your word? So, Lord, just speak to our hearts, and we give you all praise. We pray for salvation today, Father, that throughout this world that people would be born again, that the gospel would be preached, people's lives would be changed, and even in this room that people would be saved and changed today and moved today. And Lord, we thank you for mercy. We're unworthy of it. We're thankful for grace, and we're unworthy of it. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus, and we're unworthy of it. But thank you that we can have eternal life. And so speak to our hearts. We open ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I got thinking this week, and I went and I was really struggling with what to preach. And as I started to put this down on paper, I went to my wife, and she was in a meeting, and I don't remember exactly who was in it, but I went in and I told her, I said, I got a message. I feel like this is where the Lord's leading. And she goes, what's it about? And I said, when God says no, and she, whatever was in her hand, I don't know if it was a book or a pen or what, I remember her kind of slapping it down on the desk and going, I'm not coming this Sunday. I don't want to hear this. You know, when God says no, we can easily become disappointed in God. But why? It's because that's not the answer we wanted. You know, because obviously, we wouldn't have prayed for a certain thing and want a different result. But you ever thought about this? Maybe we don't even know what we're praying for. You know, we pray for something and we desire it, and that's why we pray for it and we ask God. Here's why: because we think it's best. But don't you ever think that maybe God knows what's best really for us? We kind of set ourselves up as little gods. We have this idea that we sometimes know better than God. And as spiritually mature Christians, do you think that it's possible that we could ever ask something that's outside of the will of God? Is it possible that we don't really understand? And, you know, I think sometimes sarcastically we could go, oh, we would never ask anything outside of God's will. But I think we probably do it more often than we know. We think it's best for us. How could God deny healing? Or how could God deny protection? Or how could God deny certain things we ask for? So what do we do when God's answer is no? How should we take this, you know, his no answer? And we're going to look at that today. When God's answer is no, number one, I want to remind you of some things today. Number one, we're in good company. When God says no, we're in good company. Think about Job for a minute. If you've ever read the book of Job, and I tell people, as you're going through some hard times, just read the book of Job. Because here's Job, who Scripture says, actually says he was a perfect and upright man. He was a godly man, right? And he was faithful, and he was unselfish, and he's going through all this stuff, but he refused to curse God when the devil had free hand over his body. He's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his health, and he was covered in boils and sores, and all he asked was for some relief from torment. Go ahead and read Job. Because as you're reading it, you would think this. It's like, I'm going through all these things. I've already lost my children. I've already lost my way of making a living. I've already lost all my health. It's all gone. And by the way, my wife wants me to curse you and be done with this whole thing about God. And I'm still refusing to do it. And all I want to know is, can you take me and just give me some relief from this torment? And God goes, no. In Job 30:20, Job's crying out, and he says, I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. In other words, man, I'm praying, and I'm bringing things to you, and all I want is some relief. You know, I'm not even asking for all this stuff back. I just want some relief from my torment. And that seems so fair and so pure and so honest, and it doesn't seem like that should be something God should say no to, but nothing changed. I got to tell you something. I think that if I was God, I would have gave him what he asked for. But I'm not. Just give me a little mercy. Give me a little break here. God said no, but if you read the rest of the book of Job, what you find out, what happened is that in the end, God gave him twice as much as he had before. And sometimes we ask for things and we want them now. I don't know about you, but I'm not the most patient human. And I expect sometimes, you know, this is crazy, right? But I expect sometimes to lay this prayer before God. And I give him a good prayer. You ever gave God a good prayer? I mean, you even went to the extent of you got on your knees for this one. You closed your eyes, you bowed your head, and you begin to beg God, and you even get a tear dripping. You use big King James words, amen? You're saying, oh, the Father, because he hears that. You know Jesus and the Lord God are not into NIV. You're using King James words, and you're saying, Father, thou art the God of gods. You start doing that, you're weird. But you start to beg him. And you stand up. And you're going, do I feel different? Is the situation different? And when it's not, a lot of times we get disappointed that quick because we go, well, I prayed, and I prayed hard, and I prayed loud, and I prayed clear, and he just isn't listening. And this is hard for us to wrap our minds around it, but did we ever think that maybe God wants to give you twice as much as what you're asking for? That he wants to give you something better than you're asking for. What about David? You ready for this one? This is a hard one. We're talking about we're being in good company. David's a man after God's own heart. He's an ancestor of Jesus. Now, he failed, no question, but he was the king of Israel. He was a writer of the book of Psalms. His son was sick. You remember this story? David's son is sick, and David is a man of prayer. He fasted and prayed for 7 days. Why? Because we go to extremes when we're desperate. man told me before service, he goes, man, there was a lot of praying, a lot of fasting going on in a situation I was in. And you know what? You can pray and fast and God still may say no. He prayed and he fasted 7 days. He prayed so intensely that his servants feared for their lives. He was praying so hard. You ever prayed so hard that it scared people? And God said no, and his baby died. The Apostle Paul. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He not only experienced miracles from God, but he was able to perform miracles, and on several occasions God saved him from death. Paul had this thing they call a thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, the Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." I mean, he's praying three times, and he goes to God, and he asks this question. He goes, "I want this thing to depart from me." And whether you get this or not, the Lord's answer was no. But here's where this one to me is different from the other two illustrations. At least God told them why. Some of y'all here, you're like, well, if I just knew why, I'd be able to handle it. But maybe you can't handle the why. But Jesus says to him, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me." We don't know what this thorn in the flesh was. I mean, some have said it was probably malaria or poor eyesight or a special demon. But we know it was painful. It was a thorn. We know it was evil. It was from Satan. We know it was chronic because he was tormented day in and day out. We know it was frequent. He prayed three times, so he was praying all the time over it. He was desperate because he was pleading the Lord Jesus, but God said no. But when God tells you no, I want you to remember something this morning, is that he'll always give you the grace to live with his no. God tells you no, just remember you're in good company, Job, David, and Paul. Secondly, we're in good care. We're in good care. You know, sometimes, and this is hard for us to get, but hear me out. Sometimes yes can be bad for us. And no can be better for us. You hearing me? Sometimes no can be better for you. I think about my grandson. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I spoil him, and I intend on spoiling both of them with everything I can. That does not mean I won't discipline them. Don't misunderstand those two things. Because God is good to us if all he did was give his son Jesus. But there's still a time that the good father has to say no to his people. And my grandson has gotten into this thing, and you know, I see this transition in my preaching. You won't have to hear about my kids no longer. It's now the grandkids. But you know, he now does this thing where anybody have that bottom drawer on their stove and it has a bar on it to open it to make it easier? He now knows if he stands on the bottom bar, he can reach everything on the stove. A year ago, you could leave knives laying on the edge. You cut an orange. You just leave it there. You don't think. And then there's transition because he's now getting a little taller. He's now getting a little smarter. He's now getting a little more annoying. He wants to grab everything on the counter. He doesn't care what it is. He grabs the juice when you pour it and spills it. He grabs the milk. He puts his hands in the cake. He wants everything. And if you put it in a place where he can get it, he's going to get it. And the thing you don't want him to get, he goes for. That's good preaching. Sometimes the things we want to, sometimes the things he don't want us to touch, we're trying to grab. But he stands on that little ledge, right? And the stove's hot. We're always, you know, cooking. We're Baptists, amen? And we're Baptists at home, and we're always cooking. And this cat here, he just has to get up on there and put it. Now, but he's smart enough. But I'm telling you, he's got a little bit of obnoxious Smith in him, it's for sure. He goes, he'll stand on it without, just before he puts his hand on it, he goes, "Hot? Yeah, you know it's hot." You know what? I'm going to tell you something, though. He ain't felt the heat yet, really. And we'll go, no, no, no. That's hot. Can I tell you something? No's for his good. He reaches for that knife on the counter. No, no, no. Why? Because no's good for him right there. Can I say something? You hear me. I know you know this, and this is simple, but please hear me. In your heart, hear me. Sometimes God says no because it's better for us. Because we're reaching for something that's not good for us. We're reaching for something that in our mind we think is better. How often do we do this in relationships? Boy, it looks good, it tastes good, it sounds good. And he's saying, no, no, no. And you keep reaching and you force something that's not healthy or good for you. Oh, give me some more money. Give me a better job. Let me have this. Let me have that. And he says, no, no, no. Why? Because it's not better for us. Sometimes yes can be bad for us and no can be better for us. Why? Because God really does care for you. And sometimes he says no in order to give us something better. And though at the time we can't see it or understand it, you know, I almost cringe to quote this verse, but Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for the good. His no's are for the good. His no's are for the better. We don't always know what's best for us. You know, I'm convinced of that. We think we know, and we have no idea. You ever told your kids that? You know, these little kids run around in our school. We've been doing a relationship series. These little kids, I mean, as young, they think they all got it figured out. They come to my office for counseling. They start talking to me. I'm talking to a 13-year-old, and they're going, well, the plan is to get married. You shut up. You ain't got a clue of what marriage is like. You ain't got a clue of how hard it is to be married because they think it's glamorous. Yeah, it's not as glamorous as you think. It doesn't mean it's not wonderful, but it's hard work. Well, I'm going to go do this and that with my life. Have you prayed about it? No, this is what I desire. Well, just be careful. God might give you what you desire. I read this verse this week. I dare you to read this verse. I'm telling you, this verse kind of scared me. I started calling people saying, what do you think about this verse? What do you think about this? I want you to check this out and tell me what you're thinking. It's funny, you know, again, I do this to our staff. I just try to get their motors going, right? I just try to get something started. Yeah, I throw a verse out. I throw an idea out. Here's one this week. Can standards be different for different people? Can rules be different for different people? Now, you already got somebody saying the answer. You don't know. Because now let me throw something else at you. Ready? This is a free message inside the message. Don't forget the point, but check this out. To much is given, much is required. Let me ask you. So the more that I have, the more knowledge I have, is there more required from me? Uh-oh, wait a minute, stop. But are the rules different? Are the standards different? I don't know. That's just something you to chew on, right? I do that, and then I quit texting and let the staff just go at it. The phone's still beeping 11. I'm like, these knuckleheads. Jody will text halftime. Well, Kevin says, oh, what's Kevin, your God? No, I'm just teasing. No. And we have fun with this thing, right? But then I got to think about this verse. You ready for this verse? Check this out. It's about what we're talking about. We don't always know what's best for us, but God does always. And sometimes God says yes, and he gives us the desires of our heart. But check this verse out. Psalm 106, verse 15. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. What's that mean? Study that. I'm going to give you just a piece of it, but you study that verse seriously. I want you to study it and study around it and go into the depth of that passage, because here's what it is. Sometimes God will give you your yes when it was better off being a no. Keep on requesting. I'm not saying that's wrong, but let me ask you this. Are you asking it because it's what you want? Or are you asking it because you want what's best from God? It's all about how you're requesting. It's all out of the motivation of how you're requesting something. When you read that passage, he goes, and he gave them their request. In other words, he gave them what they asked for. Can I tell you that sometimes we don't even know what we're asking for? But this part catches me, but sent leanness into their soul. I want to give you some examples of this. You ready for some more homework? Read 1 Samuel chapter 8 this week. Because Israel asked for a king. And I'm not going to read it all to you today, but Israel asked for a king. Let me say this to you. The Lord was already their king. God was already their king. They already had what they needed. And the Lord is already the king, and he wants to continue to be the king. And they're looking at it from man's perspective. They go, man, this old boy here, right here, Samuel, he's getting old. He's kind of decrepit. This is Mike James' version. He's getting old and decrepit, and he ain't going to understand anymore, and we better get him out. And we need our Arnold Schwarzenegger. We need some king to show off and all these things. And so God said, okay, you can have Saul. And the king they wanted, that's the king they wanted, so God said, okay, you can have it. Let me tell you something. They lived in regret for it because King Saul failed both God and his people. Read 2 Kings chapter 20. You ready for this one? Start in verse 1, and if you can get to verse 6 at least, and then go over to Isaiah and cross-reference it in chapter 38, because here, godly King Hezekiah, when God announced to him his death, the Lord goes to Hezekiah and he says, look, the time is near. Prepare yourselves. And Hezekiah goes, God, please, let me live. I don't want to die. And God says, okay, read the scripture. I'll give you 15 more years. Can I say something to you? And this is just me. I don't want to know. Number one, I'd be counting down the days. Well, I got 14 years. 36, like that would be nightmare. That'd be a nightmare, right? But I think when that time comes, God will give us grace. And when he says it's time, we need to let it be a time. Something I so respected about my dad was this. My dad would always say this. He'd go, I'm ready whenever the Lord takes me. And he'd say this, I don't want none of that medicine stuff. I don't want none of this surgery. Like, not that that's bad stuff, but he was just like this. I just want God's timing to be his timing. I don't want to delay God. Hezekiah goes, please don't take me. He goes, okay, I'll give you the 15 years you requested. Can I say something to you? It was the worst 15 years in the history of Israel. His son, Manasseh, was born, and he brought Israel down spiritually in a horrible way, leading them into Babylonian captivity. Can I say this again? God knows what's best for us. We pray for comfort. We pray for ease. We want the easy path. Whoever prays for life to be more difficult for themselves, nobody. Nobody goes, come on, God, bring it on. I want hard times. I relish in it. I can't wait to feel your grace when it's difficult. Please bring it on. Make it tough. Make my life miserable, Lord, if you would, please. Nope. But the easy path isn't always the best path. Listen to these verses, and hopefully this projector works for a minute, but Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This is why the easy road isn't always the best way. This is why us getting what we want isn't always the best thing for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. I don't know about you, but the word glory and tribulations don't seem to go together in my book. But in his book, they do go together. He says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. In other words, this. We're going, Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. And he's going, no, you need to grow, grow, grow. Take it away, take it away, take it away. And he goes, no, you're the most impatient person I know, and I'm going to teach you a lesson. And by the way, I'm not just going to teach you patience. I'm going to teach you long-suffering. Take it away, take it away, take it away. And he goes, oh, you really want what you want? He says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. And let me tell you something. Experience is what preaches best. I tell people this. When I faced the death of people in my life, I became a better preacher for it. Why? Because I thought I could understand what people were facing until I experienced it on my own. When I go through hard times, it made it much more effective to preach on hard times because I could relate to hard times. When I had some stuff going on in my marriage, I could surely preach marriage different. When the baby died, we could preach the baby's death different. When you go through some financial struggles, you can preach and it different. See, experience is a good thing, not a bad thing. But you know what I love about the end of this verse? It says experience hope. You don't really comprehend hope until you're broken. You don't really get hope until you've experienced some tribulations. You get it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Lord, how dare He say this? For our light affliction, He goes, in other words, let me say this to you, regardless of what you're going through, let me remind you of something, the cross. He said, for our light affliction, He's not minimizing what we go through, He's just saying this, God's still on the throne. He says, which is but for a moment, why? Because one day, praise God, all this is going to go. We'll be in perfection before the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's why He says it happens to us. We go through some things. Why? Because it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's for His glory. It's for His good. It's so He can be honored through it. It's to grow us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised by thereby. What does it mean? It means that sometimes He says no so that you can take the paddle to your backside so you'll grow up and be right. Sometimes you got to tell the kids no because it's better for them. And when you tell them no, and I can tell you this, sometimes the paddle's got to get bigger. And He may have to put someone here through different things than different people. Then He may have to put some people here through more than others because they're hard-headed. And He says, why? It don't look good. It don't feel joyous. It don't feel exciting. But the reality is this, why? So that I can raise up good soldiers for Jesus Christ. I promise you this, I'm going to spoil my grandkid, but I'm going to tell him what's right and wrong. Why? Because I want a man of God. I love my kids. I feel like they're spoiled brats too. Amen? But sometimes there was tough things, and there were things that we had to say no to because we seen beyond our children. Any parent here, say amen to that. You see things they don't see because they get blinders on in their relationships. They get blinders on at certain things. Why? Because they're kids. They're on the milk still. They think like kids. And parents see beyond them and they tell them some things to give them some good advice, not to hurt them, but to help them for the long run. Why is it any different with God? Because you think you know something? He is. He is. He don't have to think about who He is or what He's doing because He is. There are things my kids do and I'm like, you're dumb. And you may think, oh, preacher, don't stand. No, they're dumb. And I know they're dumb before they do it. And sometimes you got to let them be dumb so they learn because they ain't going to listen to you anyway. So you got to let them be dumb so they get the paddle from somebody else and praise the Lord. Then they go, Dad, you were right. And I was like, I know. We knew this before it started that we were right. And so sometimes God will say, okay, go ahead. You want it? Go get it. But be prepared. Because there are going to be some ugly roads coming when you go take what you want and be your own God. Sometimes God says no. Psalm 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I kept thy word. That's good stuff. 1 Peter 1:6-7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials or tribulations. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, through it tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the things we go through are really good for us. God's love, He loves us so much and too much to make our lives a bed of roses. We're in good care. You ready? Two more points and we're done. And these will go quicker maybe. We're in good conscience. You know, I don't think that we as believers run around deliberately praying for evil or deliberately praying to be out of God's will. I don't think we deliberately pray for what we think isn't best for us. We pray in good conscience because we really think this is what's best. Lord, fix this, fix that, heal this, heal that, protect this, take this, do this, because we think it's for the best. Again, I want to remind you, we're not God. A few examples. Peter, James, and John did this. When Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and the body of Jesus was glorified, they met with Moses and Elijah and they asked Jesus for permission to build three shelters. You remember this story? And it sounded like a great idea. I mean, if you read the story, right, in this passage, you can find it in all the Gospels, but you can find it in Mark chapter 9, and you start reading this and you're like, that's a great idea. Can I remind you of something again? We're not God. Can I remind you of something again? We don't always think like God. Can I remind you again that what you and I think are a good idea aren't always good ideas? This sounded like a good idea. They asked in good conscience. Now, get my point in this. Listen to me spiritually, okay? They asked for something in good conscience, thinking this is for the best. But Jesus had a better idea. And rather than go off and collect wood and gather wood, they got to listen to God's voice. Mark chapter 9, verse 7, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. I don't know about you, but hearing God's voice is better than gathering wood. What they prayed in good conscience doesn't make it, again, let me repeat this, what you pray in good conscience doesn't make it right or the best for you. What about Mary and Martha? I love this story. They asked Jesus in good conscience. Their brother Lazarus is sick and dying. Remember this story? In John chapter 11, you can read it. They prayed for Jesus to come and heal him. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. You asked in good conscience. There's nothing wrong with it, and I mean that. There's nothing biblically wrong with it. They prayed for Jesus to come and heal him, and Jesus said no. Boy, you can get bitter with God quick if you don't get your eyes set on Jesus. Mary and Martha, if you remember the story, they're disappointed with Jesus. In verse 21 of John chapter 11, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She's angry. She's blaming Jesus. She goes, if you would have done what I asked, and some of us go, oh, we'd never do it. Oh, no, we just do it with our attitude. We just don't. And some of us, let's be honest, we've said it to God. I can't believe you would allow this to happen. They prayed in good conscience, thinking it was best for Lazarus, them, and Jesus, because they knew more than Jesus. And Jesus had something better in mind. Jesus, in John chapter 11, verse 4, when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What did He do? He raised Lazarus from the dead. Praying in good conscience doesn't make it God's will. It doesn't make it best for you. And just because you pray in good conscience doesn't make the answer a yes. And lastly, is there our contradiction? This is kind of weird, and I started thinking about this week, and I'm like, contradiction, right? Sometimes we pray, and I really got convicted about this because I started thinking about some of the stuff I pray for. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. During football season, I pray that there won't be no rain. I don't care about that during wrestling. Let me tell you why. This is the truth. We have a building we go in. But rain affects our games. Now, let me say something to you. If we're playing a heavy passing team, take this or leave it. I pray for rain. Because if I can, it's like, thank you, God, you were on my side. If it's raining and they can't pass, we're going to surely beat them because the only thing they could beat us on is a pass. So if you eliminate that, they're in trouble, Lord, thank you. And then I'm thinking, I'm a pastor. No coach I coach against a pastor. I'm like, oh yeah, we got God on our side. Here, right? I don't really think that far. That's a lie. I was just totally messing right there. But I do pray for rain. And I do pray for not rain some days. And you think I'm kidding you, and I guarantee a lot of you do that love football. And just before the game, the clouds come in, and you're going, oh, Lord, please, move it to Day City. We don't care about them Pirates. Move it over to Zephyr Hills High School State and flood them. Move it to Wesley Chapel, those Wildcats. Yeah. Okay? Little baby cats over there. Wherever that team is traveling from, Lord, if you could send rain, that they would be late and forfeit this game, we could take an easy win. I've never done that. Hear me out on this contradiction. You ready? A farmer prays for rain so that his crops won't die. But a church says, Lord, don't rain this afternoon. We got a big barbecue dinner scheduled. Listen to me. Floridians pray for the Gators to win on Saturday. And tell me it ain't happening because there's Christians praying for their team. If you say you're not, you're probably just, some of y'all lie. I know you pray. I know Miss Cintron is praying for the Tennessee Volunteers to finally beat a high school team somewhere along the line. Coach D's going, come on, Tennessee, you can go 3-7 this year, amen? He's going to be angry about this one. Here we go. So we got the Floridians praying for the Gators. We got the Tennessee people praying for the Volunteers. And all you are wrong because we know God is a fan of the Michigan Wolverines because the sky is blue and the sun is yellow. Amen. You with me? I'm spiritual. That's why I like that team. I'm going to get to somewhere here in a minute. The Civil War happens, and Christians fought on both sides. And didn't the Confederate soldiers' wives and parents and pastors pray too? Who does God listen to? Is it the one who prays the loudest? Is it the one who prays the longest? Is it the one that uses the most special words? Is it the one that prays the hardest? The one who gets more people to pray with them? The holiest one? Does God answer prayers based off of a point system? Go to your passage of Scripture we started with. You ready? Look at this. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Oh, so Pastor, you're saying that if I pray and I kind of add on to the end of it, because I've read the Lord's Prayer, right? And it starts our Father because we pray to the Father. That's biblical stuff, okay? We pray to the Father. That's biblical. And we ask it in the name of Jesus, and that's biblical. But let me say this, if I just tag on in the name of Jesus, does that mean that my prayers will be answered? No. Because that's not at all what the Scripture's saying. He says, whatsoever you shall ask, here, let me put it another way for you. Ready? In my will, that will I do. That's exactly what that phrase means. And whatsoever you shall ask in my will I do. I'm going, here, you ready for this? This is what the Lord's saying. I'm going to do what I'm going to do in what I think is best for you. And if you want to push and push for something that your heart's desire, I may just give you your way sometimes, but it's not going to be my will for you. Be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it. Again, it doesn't mean tack on the name of Jesus onto the end of prayer. What it means is in the name of Jesus, right? Let me give you this illustration. Follow me here. I'm a little weird, okay? Follow me. If I tell you to go to the bank and get a $100 out of my checking account, listen to me. This is a silly illustration, but stay with me. We're almost there. I tell you, go to the bank and get $100 out of my checking account. I'll write you a check to take with you. This is how it works. The check is going to have my signature on it. Listen. They'll give you the $100 that's requested if it's done in my name. You listening? So if my signature's on it, then they know it's my will to give you the $100. Sometimes we don't know God's will, but we think we do. We think we know God's best, but then God doesn't answer our prayer like we prayed. God says, no, what happened? Listen to me. God didn't put his signature on the check. When we pray, we need to leave the results up to God. After all, he's God. Miss Susan. Who is more capable to decide what's best for you? You or Almighty God? Can you remember this morning? Can I remember this morning that God doesn't make any mistakes? God sees what we cannot see. He knows what we cannot know. He chooses more wisely than we can choose. When we don't understand why God says no, we just have to accept the fact that God knows what he's doing. This is where your faith is key. Can I tell you that this isn't easy to think about or preach, especially what we're experiencing this morning with Brother Dev? And this whole week, I kept thinking, I was like, you know, I can so relate. I remember the day I got the call of my father's passing. And I can remember going, why would you do this? He was a good man. Who am I telling? He was my right-hand man. I mean, he kept that place perfect, God. He always had the right words to say, God. I mean, he's the one I needed to keep on going. There's no way I'll be able to preach without him. There's no way I'm going to be able to continue on. He told me all the answers in my marriage. He taught me how to raise my kids, God. How? It's my desire that you leave him here. I didn't even get to say goodbye. I was gone 14 hours. You couldn't grant me that, to just say goodbye, to just hug him one more time. I didn't even get to see that baby's face. How could you do it? How could you allow this? How can there be so much brokenness? How can so many believers be torn apart? Why is it that our marriages are falling apart? Why is it that people in the church are dropping their standards? How can you allow this to happen? You've got to do something, God. And maybe what's happening is just giving some people the desires of their heart. Maybe he's just saying, I'm God. And you know, through time, I was so bitter with God. I was so angry with God. But I learned over time, I tell you this truthfully, that before I walked out of the room in South Carolina, I was angry and bitter and yelling at God, and I was ticked at God, to be truthful with you. And I was talking verbally out loud to God of why He would do it. And I promise you something, in an instant, before I walked out of that room, the grace of God hit me. And it still hurt. You with me? It still hurts. I don't know the why, but I know His grace is sufficient. I don't know why, but I know my dad is perfect today. I know he doesn't have diabetes. I know that he's healed from head to toe. I know my mom is in glory and she would never want to return to heaven, to this stupid earth. I know for a fact that that baby is in heaven. I know my brother is with God. I know there's no more sin and no more sorrow and no more pain and no more separation. And see, I can accept that, but it takes faith to accept it because I can't see it with my eyes. And some of you, the things you're going through, you're just going to have faith. And I know that's easy to preach and not so easy to live, but you're just going to have to say, God, you're on the throne. God, you're in control. God, I don't get it, but you got something better because you're God and you're my Father and you want something better for me. So maybe that relationship didn't work because this one is best for me. And maybe He said no because He's got something greater for you. And maybe He's allowed you to go through the health things because He's got something quadruple better for you. And maybe He's going to teach you something in it. But will you have the faith today? He's God. We have to accept it. God is always going to do what's best for you. He's always going to do what's best for Him. And God loves you. He's your heavenly Father. He wants what's best for you. Can I challenge you to something? When God says no, thank Him. When God says no, thank Him. Because it proves that He loves you deeply enough to tell you no. You know why I won't let Him touch that stove? Because I never want His hand burnt. I tell Him no to the knife because I'd never want Him to hurt Himself. I tell the story of Javin. Keep playing that same thing, Miss Susan. I tell Javin, when he was a little boy, I'd never forget this. We lived on Blue Jay Avenue off of 20th Street. I get him his bike. He's riding the tar of this bike. I said, don't you ride that bike in the street ever. Because that's what a good father do. Don't you do it because I don't want you to get hurt. And man, one day, Javin stays in the driveway. You know what happened day two? He gets his tire up out of that driveway just into the road. And I go, I've seen it. Because the Father sees it. And I go, don't ride in that road. I'm telling you no. The next day, he goes a little further. Before you know it, the whole bike's in the road. I ask the kids, as I say, did I tell him not to ride his bike in the road because I'm a bad father, because I hate him? I told them no, because that's how much more I love him. Your Father's telling you no because He loves you, because there's better. When God says no, thank Him. Even when it might hurt for a moment, thank Him. Sometimes that's the kind of love that's hard to understand. Hey, listen. I don't know about you, but I believe the Holy Spirit spoke today. Can I ask you to do something without hesitation? If it's you that God spoke to, would you come to the altar and join me right now? Come on.
Can we go ahead and have the men come forward as we move into our service of giving? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this time in your house today, Father, to be under your bold preaching, Lord, to be under your word, Lord, most of all, to be under conviction from your word. Lord, not sent by man, but sent by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that without faith, nothing is possible, Father. So we put our hope and trust in your word, in your example, Lord, in the blood of your Son Jesus Christ, Lord, that came to save a wretched sinner like me. Lord, we all fall short of your glory, but Lord, because of who you are, Lord, you picked us up. Lord, because of who you are, you've freed us from a sin life destined to an eternity in hell. Lord, because of answered prayer, you've allowed people to influence our lives, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, but I'm also grateful for those unanswered prayers, because I may not be able to stand here today and call you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in my life. Lord, we come together as a grateful people, Lord, for everything that you have given to us, Lord, that you do for us. And Lord, for this ministry, we thank you for allowing us to be able to come together and worship corporately, Lord, with freedoms, Lord, that only you can provide. Lord, we thank you for the message of the cross that was preached, Lord, not just here at Fairhaven Baptist Church today, Father, but throughout this world today, where we can proudly proclaim the gospel, Lord, that your gospel was freely preached, and Lord, that it was received, Lord, that today a life would be changed as a result of the words that were heard. Lord, we pray that you bless the gift, Lord, that's about to be received, Lord, that you would bless the giver, Lord, that we truly give with a cheerful heart, and Lord, that your ministry would go further, Lord, in this community, and Lord, that it would go further wherever we can have the boldness to speak it. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, now it's time for our kids to get up to collect. So for our visitors, we're grateful to have you here today, but these boys and girls will get up and come around and collect loose change or bills or anything. What they're collecting goes to support our missionaries and missions work that's being done here domestically and across the world. All right. What an amazing message this morning, right? As always, no shortage of conviction, no shortage of the Holy Spirit moving through this place. To our visitors, we thank you, and we hope that you are received with love and grace and mercy today. We loved having you as part of our service. We'd like to invite you back Wednesday night for our Bible studies at 7 p.m. And, of course, next Sunday morning at 9:45 for Sunday school and Bible study. Please continue to pray for those in our congregation, those in our families that have medical needs or physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs. Right here, just in this small congregation, there's people that are hurt. There's people that are in need. But to our left and to our right is a family, right? We are the church, whether we're here in this building or outside, we are the church. So let's go be a church to the community. Go be a church to our neighbors. God bless you guys, and we'll see you Wednesday night for Bible study.